El podcast más chingón. Puras entrevistas machín.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the What Did He Said podcast. It's your boy Chingo Bling, the ghetto vaquero. I have
Marisol
Herrera.
Herrera.
Wifey. We have producer Rob in the building.
What's up, everyone?
And before we get into today's special guest, just a quick couple announcements, man. We have here our first quarter tour dates, and this is the first time I'm going to announce them anywhere. So this is like
exclusive.
Hella heads up. We have Salt Lake City, January 30th. We may even go to Sundance around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs to SLC. Then we hit Nashville, Tennessee for some hot chicken February 5th. Por favor, believe it. Then we go down to Huntsville, Alabama. Yeehaw. Mm-hmm. February 6th. And then we hit the West Coast, Long Beach, California, February 21st. And then go up to Fresno. Not Fresno, yes, Fresno. February 22nd. And then we go to San Antonio, February 23rd.
That's for something special that you're doing, though.
But people can show up.
That's right.
I'm a part of this lineup, and I think they're going to be filming it. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Kansas City, and we're going to announce the tour name real soon. Kansas City, February 27th. We might be hitting Miami. Don't know yet. But we go to Naples, Florida, March 8th. And then Phoenix, what up, AZ, March 13th. Atlanta, March 26th. And we're going to go hard. We're going to go hard promoting these first quarter dates. But you guys are the first ones. Shout out to everybody. Subscribe to the email blast and the YouTubes and all of that.
And they'll actually have dibs to the link to buy tickets first if you're in the city versus the public. So we're not announcing this to the public until December 30th. So guys,
you heard it here first. Don't sleep. You get first dibs. So you want to get into today's
So today we have Christy Williamson, and I actually have known Christy since I was about maybe 6 years old. She's my aunt's best friend since the sixth grade, right, Christy?
Wow.
It's about, yeah. So since the sixth grade, and so she's basically like a second aunt to me. I've known her that long. So
26 years.
Yeah, for a very long time. So I wanted to invite her on. She's a big advocate on mental health. And so I noticed what she's been doing on social media, really trying to push and inform and educate people about mental health. And she firsthand is experiencing it with her son, who is now how old, Christy?
22.
So he's 22. And so, you know, she's just really big on it. She's got this big campaign going on. Do you mind handing me her t-shirt real quick just so I can show it? Sorry. Yeah. So just doing this big campaign with Perfectly Imperfect, Happy. And then it's hashtag End the Stigma. So, you know, it's really her trying to educate others and not making you feel like, oh, my child has, you know, any type of mental health. You should, you know, hide them, be embarrassed. You know, it's something that people don't really like to talk about. And I felt that it was important to have her on because I feel that in our culture, we really don't talk about it. It's kind of more like, no, está chiflado, you know, or like, no, ahorita se le pasa. You know, it's not really talked about. Yeah. So I feel that our audience, I'm not saying everyone that listens to us is only Latino, but I just felt like this is something that should be touched on. So I guess maybe kind of tell us how you got started into really trying to push it out there, or what made you want to kind of like start your Instagram to really like inform people about it?
I guess I really thought, you know, what would happen to Charlie if something happened to me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, how would people treat him? You know, just going to get a cup of coffee. Is somebody going to treat him different? Is somebody going to, you know, whisper behind his back?
Sure.
Or, you know, and then it would embarrass him.
Yeah.
And that's really what happens is that, you know, people, you know, pick at other people and then they get embarrassed and then they won't leave their house and, mm-hmm. you know, and then it escalates to other things. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to hide this. I'm not going to hide my son in the house. I'm not going to be embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. When we take him to church, I take him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't expect people to be like, you know, overly kind,
mm-hmm.
but I do expect the same customer service or the same kindness or the
sure.
same, just what, you know, just being fair as they would to somebody without it.
Right.
And it is noticeable when you see him, you know, you notice the, the somberness. You notice that his head's down, his eyes are down. So it is noticeable, you know. So so I did take him somewhere one time, and I did notice that someone was kind of, they were whispering or staring or something. And, of course, they didn't say anything. You know, I do have that mama bear look. So that's when it really hit me. I was like, this, people need to.
No.
People really need to know, and they really need to. The awareness is there. Everyone's aware. Everybody's aware of mental health. Everybody is aware that there is a crisis. One in five people. One, two, three, four, five. Look in a room. One, two, three, four, five. No joke.
That means one of us may have it. Oh, my goodness.
You know, so it's time to take action.
Yeah.
I heard that, jumping around a little bit, I heard that anxiety is the most common form of mental illness. Is that accurate?
Anxiety is anxiety and depression. But people blow it off, you know, which is really scary. You know, you people go to the doctor for a splinter.
My gosh,
you know, I've seen kids and, but in our culture, no joke, you know, it's like, we'll just give them a butt whipping and, you know, they'll snap out of it, you know, make them, you know, walk the line, make them, you know, make them behave.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't, it's, I mean, it's a real deal. It's real.
Another way I've heard, mental health, or mental illness explained to help, inform people is that, for instance, they compare it to, like, you know, when your brain has some kind of, you know, illness or damage. It's almost like if you have a sprained ankle, people aren't going to say, jump up and down, run, walk it off, like take your mind off of it. And I guess that's the example I heard where it's like, it's the same thing. You can't just tell someone, think positive, snap out of it, think positive. Is that, have you heard anything like that?
It's funny because our entire family has been totally affected by this. I mean, my extended family, my immediate family. And the funny thing is that my 12-year-old, you know, she's watched. I mean, she has been to every doctor's appointment. She's been to every hospital visit. She's been when it was down to the nitty gritty. She's seen it all. And one day we were talking and she's like, if you're sad, oh my gosh, just be happy.
Look at the bright side.
And I was like, Kat, do you understand that there is something wrong? I said, you know, our brains are so important. And I mean, we work out, right? We eat healthy. I mean, take care of your brain. It is, gosh.
You can't get another one.
You can't put a Band-Aid on it.
Sure.
You can't. And I couldn't get her to understand. No, you can't just snap out of it. No, it takes doctoring. You know, you get a cold, you take some cold medicine, you know, and you take care of yourself. You rest. The exact same thing. When you have anxiety, there's things to do. When you are depressed, there's a way to deal with it, to cope with it.
I've also heard, I'm pretty ignorant on the subject, but I've heard that in some cases, it's a like biochemical type of thing that may require, let's say, pharmaceuticals or what are those SSRIs or something?
Psychiatric. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's
psychotic medication.
Then there's other stuff where it's not a, I guess it's not a pharmaceutical solution or treatment and it's not necessarily biochemical. It's something else. Could you touch upon that?
So, I mean, yes, you have to take your medication. You do not have a choice. I have been told many times, don't give it to him. He doesn't need it. There are other ways to deal with it.
Other ways as in like holistic or other ways as in like activities?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Holistically. Yes. And granted, I do lots of supplements. I am big on, aromatherapy. I am big on, I put oils on him like crazy. I mean, I will walk around with a roller and I will roll anybody. Tell me you're depressed. Oh my gosh, I will make something up for you. But supplements, there are supplements, like it's called GABA. It's a neurotransmitting vitamin. And I give him, what else do I give him? So I give him GABA.
GABA?
GABA is actually something that you produce. But when you're having, you know, your entire body is like this big walking chemical reaction, right? So think about it. If you're lacking something, it jacks with something else. So if you don't have that right combination, then, you know, all of a sudden it could be something simple as like you start sweating. Oddly, you know, or you think differently, or you wake up and you feel dizzy. Just some of the most random little things. If you don't have the right components that your body is producing, you know, you can have pseudo symptoms where you really don't have an illness, or you really don't have whatever a diagnosis. It's just a pseudo. It's just kind of like you can fix it with those vitamins, with that, whatever the vitamin intake that you're missing. And then it fixes it. Where when it's in your brain and there's an issue, it's not that easy. So he has to take medications. It's not a choice. When you are having hallucinations, and, you know, that's called psychosis.
So, yeah. So let's kind of like rewind real quick because we're
diagnosis
going. Yeah.
Right.
The question I guess I have is, when did you first notice that actually Charlie, what was the sign, or like, did someone at school tell you, like, was it a teacher? What age, how old was he when this all started to happen?
So, which is what I'm about to say is so common. It's not even funny. And people don't talk about it. So he graduated high school.
Oh, he's older.
And so he was going to go to Sam Houston. So he was going to go live in the country with his grandparents to go to this junior college to make up a couple classes that he needed before school started. So he goes out there. We pack his car up. We're all excited. We're taking pictures. Charlie's going to college. Woo, growing up. He was gone for a couple months. And I started noticing that phone calls were weird. He was very, very proactive. He was in the youth group in Livingston. And he was the guitar. He was head guitar. He played the guitar for the youth group for, gosh, forever. And all of a sudden, the phone calls were, everybody hates me at church. I can't go back. And I was like, well, who are you talking to? He's like, I can just tell. They all hate me. And I'm like, son, Charlie, I mean, he was Mr. Sunshine. Didn't talk much, never did. But he was so positive. He was, you know, he gave a really good disposition. He had a really good disposition in life. And these thoughts were coming to him, and everybody hated him. And I was like, okay, so I just kind of threw it off. You know, I'm like, you're going to be fine. You're going to start school. I'm not going to go. I can't go take that test. I can't leave the house. I'm like, okay. So then I try to go visit him. And I can never catch him. So this was a span of about 6 months. So finally, from graduation about to 6 months later, May, June, July, August, September, October, he comes home November. And the reason why I made him come home was I got a phone call from his childhood friend's father. And he said, something's wrong. Charlie needs to come home. I don't know what's going on. He's been at our house, which is within the same area. And these are like, I mean, they're like siblings.
Near the junior college?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently downstairs. They have like a basement kind of thing. He's like, he's always sitting in the dark. I don't know what's going on. He comes home and out of nowhere, so this is 6 months later, out of nowhere, he comes out of his room. My husband and I are sitting on the couch watching TV. This is so out of character, because if you see him, he is nothing but one big walking smile. He turns to us and says, I know y'all are fucking staring at me. I know y'all are fucking talking about me. Number one, nobody's cussing in my house but me. And I looked at my husband, and I'm pretty hot-headed. I get I'm quick. I have a short fuse. Mm-hmm. But something told me there was a problem. My husband looked at me, and we had noticed some little, you know, the way he was walking. Things. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like attitude.
Yeah. So that was it. And we were like, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had to take him to the doctor. And once I took him to the doctor, then it kind of seemed to escalate because I guess maybe he was becoming more aware of what was like, oh gosh.
How did you approach that initial doctor visit?
Good question. Like, yeah, what man. General practitioner?
Oh, no.
Or even with him.
Who'd you call? Where'd you go?
Yeah.
So we... he's my oldest and he's my only son. Mm-hmm. So I was terrified. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I see? You know, I had zero. And I always know what to do. I always know where to go, where to find whatever that needs to be done. And there I was. We were like, what do we do? So I had to call his dad, and his dad lives in Tyler. And I was like, I need you to be the strong arm. Because he's 18. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's an adult. There's nothing I can force him to do mm-hmm. as an adult. I need you to get him to the doctor. Please, I am begging. And, you know, he's my ex-husband, so I don't beg. No. So I'm bawling. I mean, I am crying. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong. I'm mm-hmm. terrified. So I take him to his dad's. And, you know, his dad takes him to the doctor and they are going to set up an appointment, blah, blah, blah. And you got to wait. And he drinks a huge bottle of NyQuil.
Oh.
Because he wants to kill himself.
Mm. Wow. Yes. Was that the first time that yes. that's when it was like, no, this is yes. serious?
And so nobody was taking me serious. Mm. Nobody was taking me serious.
That's a problem.
Wow.
Until this. So you telling me no one gave a crap until he tried to kill himself.
Wow.
I mean, and that's the way it goes. Unless it's a crisis, no one cares. Mm.
That's one of the problems, huh, mm-hmm. in the system.
Yes.
Where it's like early detection has a certain threshold for them to act.
Mm-hmm. Huge threshold. I mean, the minute you see it, be proactive. Let's be proactive, mm-hmm. you know. Let's not be reactive during the crisis. Why wait? Mm-hmm. And that set the tone for everything. That right there was what did it. And here we are, 4.5 years later. Wow. But yes. It was a process. It's been a long road, and we still have a long road. I mean, we still have a long road ahead of us.
So after that happened, after he tried to drink the whole bottle of NyQuil, after that, was it like, okay, now we've got a doctor for him. He's going to go see him. Was there like, did he see a psychologist then? And then it was like that he talked to them. What's where the he protocol? Expressed like what?
Like a specialist?
Like a specialist?
So you have to be really strong in a situation like this because, like I said, mental health is not at the top of everybody's list. Mm. So he's always been an introvert. He's never been a follower. He's been a leader. He's done his own thing. That is the way he's always been. And all of a sudden, that introvert completely withdrew. Not one word. He literally did not speak anymore. I mean, we never heard his voice. I
like verbally, nothing.
I could not get a word out of this. So everything just started to escalate. And all the facility that my ex-husband was taking him to, they were doing the one-on-one therapy. I mean, come on. He doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to get out mm-hmm. of what? I mean... What was the point? What was the accomplishment? What, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. But I'm going with emotions. Mm. I'm going with what everybody's telling me to do. They had him on all kinds of medications, and then we realized he wasn't taking the medicine.
Well, he's very lucky to have you, like a mother that is hands-on, doing the research, like trusting your instincts, like, no, he's not saying anything. What is one-on-one therapy going to accomplish? Did they give you a diagnosis?
Well, not only that, here's the other thing is that I think sometimes us as just human nature, we kind of just go by whatever the doctor is saying. So yeah. You're like, well, that's what the doctor said. So that's what we need to
do.
They're
the experts.
They're the experts, right? Versus like, wait a minute. I know my child. Let me do what I need to do. And then what about that? You know what I'm saying? Then you can question things. Because I think sometimes we don't question things because it's the doctor said. So, you know, the doctor surely can't be wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
So,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
So what did they, were they able to find and pinpoint diagnosis?
So because of the psychosis, the hallucinations and the delusional, so it's basically a schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the most demonized words out there, mm-hmm. You know, schizophrenia, which is a bunch of BS because it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
I know now I've come across many schizophrenic people that are compassionate, that are loving, that are caring. And so that demonization is wrong.
Mm.
It's totally and completely wrong. And that's what really scares me because this isn't exactly his diagnosis. Because 4.5 years later, so we have to go see a neurologist now. I mean, we're at a whole nother stage of life. And so I was looking through all his paperwork and I was looking at all the diagnoses because he's been in the hospital 9 times in 4 years.
Mm.
That's
still actually not bad, Christy. So that shows how involved you are. Because I think if anything, probably in 4 years, you know what I'm saying? I think most other kids probably would have been in there more, but probably because you're so involved and on top of it. I mean, I know it's a lot to you, but does that make sense? In 4 years, 9 times, I guess for me, doesn't sound like a lot because I feel like obviously you must be doing something to help him not end up in the hospital like every time there's a you know, like an episode or, you know what I'm saying?
I have learned so much to the fact that we have had crises. So the last time he was in the hospital was... He's literally has not been back in the hospital in a solid year.
No.
Last
awesome.
September 18th was his when he was discharged from the last hospital. And he was in there for the longest period, which was about 3.5 months. So we've made a pact. We have made a pact with him and we have told him under no circumstances will I put you back in the hospital because there's nothing they can do that we can't do with the support system mm-hmm. that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had doctors, we've been therapists, we've been through everything. But over the past 2.5 years, we've had the same MD, the same psychiatrist, the same therapist. And then we have him involved in all kind of therapy. So
each time it called for like, hey, we need to take you to the hospital. Would you call it like a psychotic episode or something that scares you? It's like, I need backup.
So he went to the hospital the first time his dad took him. And then the next time he was threatening to kill himself, he was in a psychosis. So he was having, he was hearing. So when he hears, when I say that he's hearing something, he's not hearing like, some guy is talking to me. He thinks that birds are specifically chirping at him and that when he's walking, dogs will specifically bark at him. They might be barking in the neighborhood.
Just in general, yeah.
But just in general. And the reason he's thinking that is because he thinks that he is so ugly and that they are targeting him but he's not like, oh, they're chatting, like we're chit-chatting, but he has had an episode which we handled really well and I was so proud of us. I know that sounds mm-hmm. scary, but he went into a psychosis like a couple months ago. He decided to drink a whole bottle of CBD oil full spectrum. I'm a big advocate for medicinal marijuana. I do not think that, I think anything in life in gluttony is, mm-hmm. you know, is bad. Mm-hmm. Anything you do, a lot
what
of
happens?
Is bad.
What happens if you drink a whole bunch of CBD?
So he went into psychosis, which marijuana is not good for someone with schizophrenia because it can put you into a paranoid state and then you start hallucinating. Mm. I have video to prove to him that, and I do it so he is accountable. Look, this is what happened, and this is why you cannot. I'm sorry, you're 22 years old. You cannot smoke pot. You cannot drink. You can't have CBD oil. Because I was using the CBD oil.
I was just going to say, because it's, yes. yeah.
And I would, but I was using just the minute amount because it's only allowed, that THC is only allowed that point whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not...
psychoactive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we left and I come back and all of a sudden he's walking back and forth. He's like, "What's up, Mom?" And it's like, you know, someone that never talks. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I want to show you this video. I have something to show you. This song is the shit. No, seriously, come at me, bro. Look, what?" Like, he's having this full-blown conversation. I was like, what is wrong? Like, you want to go to the hospital? We'll go right now. And he finally admitted what he did. So my husband was like, which is his bonus dad. It's not his real dad. Mm-hmm. But my husband was like, "Just let it ride. Mm-hmm. Just let it ride. He'll be fine." He's like, "I'm going to go take a walk." And I'm like, "You're not leaving this freaking house. It's mm-hmm. not happening." Mm-hmm. My husband's like, "Let him take the walk. He's fine. He's learning to cope. Let it ride." So he goes for his walk. He comes down. He's finally coming down. He goes, gets in the shower. And I walk in his room and he's crying. Oh my gosh. Like, he's totally crying. And he's like, "I'm sorry."
No,
he's like,
he realized
"I'm sorry,
it,
Mom."
Yeah.
He's like, "I know I shouldn't have done that," mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And I was like, "Son, I'm sorry that you cannot do the things that experimenting crazy 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
So pardon my ignorance, but like everything you described sounded kind of like positive, like kind of like safe.
Exactly.
Like he was talking.
Yes. Yeah.
Was there a yes. part of that that just like, well, I'm not used to seeing him do that and maybe he overdid it? Or like,
it's
part
not
was
a positive because I forgot to say the scary part. Okay, so we're in his room for 45 minutes. I mm-hmm. had to stay in the room with him. I wouldn't let him leave the room. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in the room with him and he's talking to me. He's telling me this, you know, out of character stuff. But he's got like this rapid eye movement to the right. He's like, "Not right now." Mm-hmm. "Not right now." And I was like, "Who are you talking to? Can you tell them to mind their own business that we're trying to have a conversation?" Mm-hmm. So then he stands up and he goes to his window and he starts looking out the window. So there's the paranoia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Not right now." "All right, wait." And I was like, "So what are they telling you?" So I'm embracing it. I'm going with it. I'm like, fine. But the only reason that I feel more comfortable doing this and I'm not afraid anymore is because of all the research that I've done on my own mm-hmm. and that all the doctor visits. You know, doctors are expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get my time worth and I'm going to sit there and you're going to answer. But you know what? And they've never like tried to shoo us out of the room. This group of doctors that we have, I swear they love him as much as we do.
Mm. They're all there out of Waco?
Yes. But I'm also, I'm that mom.
Mm.
You know, I want it. He deserves it. His quality of life is mm-hmm. just as valuable as mm-hmm. anybody else's. So I'm kind of pushy.
I have a quick question for you. So I know this is like really, but on TLC, you know, they had on the channel TLC, they had an episode about the first little girl that was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia. She was only like, I want to say like 8 years old. She was super little. She's the first case that they've ever found her being that little with schizophrenia. And it was to the point to where the mom and dad couldn't live together anymore. So because the mom had a baby, right? And so now they were afraid. She, I guess, tried to kill the baby one time and that terrified them. So the mom lives in an apartment and then the dad lives in another apartment next door. They had to sell their house to make this work. And so even though it's like a waste because they're obviously spending money on rent, but they live next door to each other. They're only allowed together for a little bit and it's supervised too. But what made me think of it is she too would say that it was Seven who was making her do these things. So it was like, we don't know who Seven is, but the mom, same thing. She started asking, she would say, can you please ask Seven, you know, to not be here today because we're having family time. She's like, he's not going to leave, mom. And it was videotaped and everything. I mean, it was on there and it was like, crazy, like to see like how strong like our brain is to the fact to where she was literally describing to the T what Seven looked like. Like there's this whole other person. And so it went into like how much stress it has caused on their family, like their love life. It's like, it's so hard, you know, finding a babysitter so that they can do anything as a couple. It's kind of like, they have to find a babysitter,
and it's okay, expensive.
For the baby, and then they have to find a nurse for the older daughter with schizophrenia. So, you know, it's like there's so much involved in having a child with, you know, mental health, to where it's like everyone's just probably like, well, just take them to the doc, you know, drop them off at some kind of like facility where someone can watch them. No one wants to take the time to kind of do it. You know what I'm saying? So it just made me think of that episode where the little girl was kind of like talking to Seven and asking Seven to please leave because her mom was getting mad, yeah. You know? So do you know who this person that he talks to is? Or is it just like,
this was just the one time and it was the influence of the THC, you know, that. So I guess I have a little issue with it. I've never seen that show. Should probably watch it. But yeah. I think
it was like a long time ago. Yeah. They were trying to speak about mental health, bipolar. They had different, and then it got shut off. So I don't know if it was like too much for people to handle to where it no longer came on TLC anymore. So I don't know.
Maybe the information wasn't right. Mm. So when I tell you that I'm pushy and I find my answers. I will go above and beyond to find my answers. So there's this stuff called Kratom.
Kratom or something like
that. Okay, so there was a documentary on Netflix. Did you guys see that one?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, so there's a documentary on there and there's a doctor on there. So I hunted him down. So I had to come to Houston one day. And so he finally called me and we had a 2-hour conversation about, you know, he didn't give me any advice, any doctor advice. I just wanted to know about his son. His son was really depressed. He tried to kill himself. He was just having a really bad time in life. And he was always drunk, high. I don't remember exactly, but he was struggling with life. And so he found this stuff. And my question to the doctor was, is this something Charlie could
take?
And it was a no. It was a quick no. And I was like, okay. But then he did start telling me about, you know, I mean, he did a lot of research and I'm sure he has access to way more stuff than I do, information. And so he was like, you do realize that people with schizophrenia are not aggressive. They're not angry. That is not their initial. And if you look at, it's called a DSM. And it tells you all the, this is like a book that doctors use. And it tells you all the diagnoses. And they redo it every so many years. I mean, because they come up with new ones, new diagnoses, you know. I'm scared of cats, so it's a new diagnosis. No joke. It's crazy. Yeah.
The brain is complex.
So. Yeah. And he was explaining this to me, and I was like, yeah, he's never been, like, aggressive or scary or, you know, it's been out of character. But, and then when I told him about the pot, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, the pot thing is a no-go for him. And so the whole TLC episode, you know, the whole wanting to kill a baby, that sounds like a sociopath, which is a social disorder. And so it's like aggression, you're scared of people, and so like you like that's where the sociopath comes mm-hmm. from. It's a disorder.
And so. Depending on who produced the show, or for instance, what happens is it makes the stigma worse.
When you
sensationalize and you edit things for entertainment purposes. I mean, I don't doubt that this little girl like maybe really tried that. They wouldn't lie about, you know, a kid saying
that. She said she was playing with her thing was she put a pillow over his face and her thing is we're playing peekaboo.
Maybe they were.
I don't know.
Well, my point is there's a lot of responsibility that comes with how you edit and produce something which ultimately is for a network to sell advertising.
Yeah, of course.
So the reason it's probably no longer on air is probably not because of the social responsibility, is because they're like, we can't sell as many ads with this. How else can we get
called Palmama? Yeah.
So one of my questions was, have you noticed any things that may be like triggers, like whether it's stress or certain dietary things that's like, oh, wait a minute, I have a theory.
Yes.
You try to pinpoint a connection.
Yeah. So just recently, so he's developed, he's always had some sort of OCD with this, but he's all of a sudden developed the hand washing and brushing his teeth really, really bad. I mean, to the point like his hands are raw. I hide all the soap because his favorite is the dish soap. Dish soap has a degreaser in it. So it literally dries. Is eating his. So we hide everything and he's brushing his teeth like crazy. And one day we're driving down the road and he's like, your breath smells. I was like, really? I just ate potato chips and I don't brush my teeth 50 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, my mouth really hurts. So occasionally he will say one sentence and my day is like, yay.
It's a good day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is a good day for mm-hmm. him to express himself. And so his grandfather passed away November. And so I think that triggered the intensity because he was already doing them, but now it's to the point where it is really, really bad. So then not only that, we found mold under his bedroom floor. So we are having to completely redo his floor. So we had to push him out of his bedroom. And so he could.
And that threw off his routine?
Well, that's his comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the noise. And then the guys in the house. And so, you know, we have our own little company. And I was like, you guys get it. I want you in and out. I want that room. And I was like, I was just as nervous, you know. And my husband was really on them about, and they know Charlie. So they were working so hard to get him back in his bedroom. And yesterday, they finally moved him back in. And I asked, my dad's watching it. My dad is a major, huge help. I mean, we couldn't do anything. We wouldn't have a life if it wasn't. My dad is super close to him, and my dad knows the routine. He knows what to watch for. But I asked my dad yesterday, because we were coming here, and I was like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, he's sound asleep. He sleeps too much. He sleeps a lot. So, and I think it
is that part of depression?
I thought we had the hallucinations under control, but he just recently admitted that he's having them again, and that he is having thoughts of suicide. But he speaks in his own little way, and you can tell his mannerism. You can tell what he's saying by the way he stands, sits. You know, he mm-hmm. does these little thumbs up. His therapist is like, is that the shut up thumbs up? Is that I'm not telling you? Is that the you're an
leave
asshole?
Me
leave me alone. You know, she can read him. And
sometimes I give Marisol thumbs up.
Yeah.
No, like, which one is that?
It's a thing in our house now.
I got it.
It's a thing in our house, the whole thumbs up thing. I'm like, really? But his therapist said that he, in so many words, is like, he's having the thoughts, but he doesn't want to act on them. So that's a positive. I know that sounds scary as heck.
He's not identifying with the thought. I don't know if that's...
I don't know, because I know that I've seen some personal documentaries that people have posted. You know, I've been watching one, and she's been posting since 2008. And so of course, I stay up all hours of the night and I'm watching her. I'm watching these videos and she's learned to cope with them and not say anything because she doesn't want to be put back in the hospital. But it's not good because it could, something bad could happen. It could, you know, all of a sudden you have a hallucination or you have a bad thought and say you're home by yourself and something scares the crap out of you. And, you know, I don't know. I could ramble on for like ever.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, and a couple other questions. Like on some of the medicines, have you noticed any like side effects where it's like, we got to take the good with the bad?
That's what the OCD has come in from.
Some of the medicine stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that OCD is almost like related to or like an offshoot. It's like a form of anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Totally. So, so it's called mute-ism. Like not mutation, like your body's mutated. But the not talking is an offset of anxiety. It's like debilitating. So then you have an anxiety, like all of a sudden you have an anxiety episode. It's overwhelming. You get flushed, hot. You know, everybody's different. And some people will have just the urge to go wash their hands. It's, you get whatever sudden urge. It's a, they call them tics. So like all of a sudden, you know, you just develop something.
I don't know if this is mutism, but when I went to that prep school and my parents like drove off and left, you know, and my sister, it's like being there in that little dorm room by yourself. And then you have the phone in the hallway. I don't know how many times it happened, but like I just had like the biggest knot in my throat because it's like, man, I'm in ninth grade. They're in Texas. I don't know shit about New Jersey and blizzards and stuff. And I'd like be on the phone. They'd be like, you know, hey, you're like, Mijo, you there? And I just couldn't even get a word out. I'm like, damn, that shit was mutism.
Yeah.
Borderline mute.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, I guess traumatic, you know, for a 13-year-old. So I don't,
absolutely.
I guess in that sense, it was like kind of debilitating, but I don't know if that was like.
Oh, totally. Yeah, you
get, hey, Chingles in here diagnosing himself. Hey, everything Chris is saying, he's like,
what?
Shit.
Let me Google.
Hey, he's going to start.
Speaking of genetics, there's some motherfuckers in my family. We got the same.
You have no idea. Hey. I will diagnose you.
I know. He's like, shit, can I have Chrissy's number? I'm having this episode.
Marisol been acting funny. I think she's being triggered. You know, her routine is off, and I think she's
like,
getting triggered.
What did you do?
Yeah, right. I have a question for you. So walk us through, like, a day with Charlie. So, like, let's say
morning routine, night routine.
What is it like?
Okay, so I love social media. Mm-hmm. You know, you always see the great things, right? It's taken everything in my power not to post the bad things. I want people to see that it's possible to have good days in between those bad ones. We get up at 6:30. All of a sudden, you start hearing the restroom door open, close. He goes back to his room. Open, close. Guess what he's doing? He's washing his hands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I started giving him Benadryl. So no joke, I don't think Xanax is a good thing for anybody. I think it is helpful, yes, to get you through a bad time. But a half of Benadryl can relax you and calm you. And so I started giving him the Benadryl so he's sleeping better. But it's like right at 6:30, I'm laying in bed. And all of a sudden you hear his door open, shut, restroom, shut. And he starts washing his hands. I'm like, gosh. And I get aggravated. And I don't know what my aggravation is. Is it? It's not at him. It's just like, I just want it to stop.
Well, yeah, as a mom, I guess I can understand that now. You know, as a mom, you just don't, you know, you're like, what else can I do? I'm doing everything in my power to help my child. Like, okay, is something's got to give at some, you know what I'm saying? Frustration, exactly.
Okay, so that's the start of our day. Then he'll finally fall back asleep. I get Kat off to school. I come back. We don't leave him home for long periods of time. We will leave him home in increments because our office is like 4 blocks from our house.
Okay.
Kind of like not this close, but you know, if I could have it, I so would have it right in my backyard. But I drop her off. I come back and my day starts trying to get him out of bed. Sometimes I come back from dropping her off. And, you know, he would have texted me, will you get me a burrito? So I'll, you know, so that means, okay, we're going to start our day off really good. Mm. And so I'll come home and I give him chores. Some days he's on point. He doesn't want to work outside the house. We don't think that he actually could hold a job anyway mm-hmm. right now. And so he will empty the dishwasher. He will help with the dogs because they are actually his dogs. I've posted one of a black dog that was supposed to be his therapy dog. And I hope my husband doesn't see this, but if he knew how much I spent to get that full trained, I'm going to whisper it like nobody can hear, right?
Close to the mic. Whisper close to the mic.
Can you blank this part out? And we spoil him so much, like family, that, mm-hmm. I mean.
The dog?
Yeah. And I'm just like, seriously, like, this just, you're supposed to be a therapy dog. Yeah, you're supposed to do certain things.
The
and
dog's he's
like,
needy.
Where's my steak?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
this is not medium rare.
So he's supposed to, you know, walk the dogs and he doesn't do that. But he will help brush the dogs and take care of the backyard.
I wonder
when
if
he's
that's
in a
therapeutic.
Good mood.
I'm sorry. I wonder if that's like therapeutic.
Why you get scared?
She almost fell.
He's about to like
trigger.
That's your trigger.
He's about to knock me
so,
over.
So are the chores like therapeutic?
Yes. Okay. So I'm a big advocate also for Montessori schooling because you're active even when you're learning very specific things like language arts. Mm-hmm. You're constantly moving and being active. And so this is kind of where it kind of came to me. Say you have a kid that comes to school and they're like in a really crappy mood. You know, their parents just dump them off, you know, because parents kind of agitate the kids. And then you drop them off to the teacher and the teacher has to deal with them. Well, there's a process. It's called chair washing. And you literally have like a little bucket with some soap and you get a chair and you're like, hey, why don't you scrub the chairs? You know, it's not, you know, it's not a labor law thing. It's not a child labor. It's to literally get that aggression that, you know, you're working it out physically. You've accomplished something and you're done. And that's it. And you notice, and I'm saying that because I taught Montessori. And so I see all these little anxiety things. And when I give him these chores and he's done, like he empties the dishwasher now totally on his own and he's finished and he puts everything away and then he'll go lay down. And so there are days that I don't even tell him to have to remind him. And I think that it's there. I think that you know, he might have some sort of anxiety at that moment because out of nowhere, he'll just go and like empty the dishwasher or vacuuming is a big thing. Sweeping is a big thing. The motions, because he works out 3 days a week. We just started the whole, we've always been extremely healthy, whatever. Okay, so back to my day, right? I'm like all over the
place. Well, no, you're I'm fine. Curious, yeah. How does the gym stuff, have you seen any changes?
Yeah.
Well, we've always been really healthy. We've always worked out. We're a family of, you know, working out. And then we totally slacked off. And the days that he goes to the gym with a personal trainer, he works him out hard.
Good.
I mean, hard. Because Charlie used to be extremely fit, all vegan, the whole shenanigans. And I notice on the days that he comes back from the gym, he's not washing his hands as much. He sits up straight. Mm-hmm. Will you take me to Chipotle? Is like, all right. No, when he makes me mad, I ground him from Chipotle.
Oh, that's terrible. How dare you?
I know. My husband's like, seriously, Christy? And then some days my husband's like, no Chipotle, Charlie. You're watching your hands too much.
Well, that's interesting that the like the exercise and the workouts, you see a change.
Yeah, because I was reading something the other night. And it's called SMI, and it's something that psychiatrists will diagnose patients with when it's just something is just, it's not working, and they get to a certain age, and they're like, okay, this is going to be a lifetime thing, and it's called severe mental illness. Mm. This is the actual diagnosis. Well, a lot of smoking comes with it, obesity, high cholesterol, high blood pressure,
What do you mean? When someone's diagnosed
with that,
it tends to correlate with cigarettes?
You know, a lot of smoking. I don't know if you
like
noticed.
Like chain smoking.
I don't know if you've ever noticed someone, you know, that's all strung out or stressed out and they're just like smoking. He started smoking when he was at that first hospital. Yeah.
Probably the other.
Yeah, they're all smoking. They're all smoking. And before he went, we made him go to the hospital. He was like fit as a fiddle. And all of a sudden he started gaining weight. He didn't want to work out anymore. And so I started getting a little worried that he was going to start doing that again. And so then that's when the whole personal trainer thing came up. But he hasn't, that whole Juul thing, I know it's a cool thing, right?
Oh, the little vape thing.
Mm. Yeah. He's like, can I get one of those? Mm. Like, no. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's not cool. I mean, that's all we need is something extra to take him to the doctor for us.
Yeah, like, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So that's your morning routine. And then what's it like at night? Because I see that you also like take him like, is that like horse therapy?
Uh-huh. We try. Okay. So throughout the day, it's a constant get out of bed. I'm constantly finding things for him to do like through the whole day. I don't know if I'm sure I get on everybody's nerves. My husband's like, seriously, give him a break. Leave him alone. You know, I just don't want him in his room laying down.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch TV. Occasionally he will look at social media. I will catch him on social media, but he's not really active.
Does he play video games?
No.
Oh.
No, he says that's not good for his brain and he or didn't books. Want it. Yeah. No, he won't read anything. We're just at a point where it's just kind of like, I really do think that he's depressed because some of the medication will make you even more depressed or give you depression or add suicidal thoughts. You ever seen those commercials?
Oh, yeah. That's all they are. Yeah. It's like a commercial for side effects.
Your ears are bleeding.
Yeah.
Out of your butt.
How many, is he on a variety, like a mixture? Has it been hard to find that?
Yes. Yes. And I think that's where we're at with the problem with this new issue with the new thoughts. And see, I don't even know how long he's actually been having the hallucinations because I think that he was learning to try and deal with them on his own. So I wouldn't take him to the hospital. Mm. But until I had that conversation with him, then he was honest. And he was honest with Courtney, which is his therapist. Mm. And Courtney has been the main, I mean, she has been the one to stick with us. Our MD just recently, I got a letter in the mail saying she was leaving the clinic. Mm. And I was like, so what am I supposed to do? I'm like, I called the administrator of the hospital. And I was like, this letter doesn't tell me anything other than she's gone. Mm. And I was like, I didn't even hear from her. I was like, she has been like a major, she's like one of our arms and legs in this entire thing. We can't live without her. She didn't make more money doing Botox. So she went, yeah. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Yeah. I was so mad. My husband's like, look, you know, it's a stressful industry and, you know, and I'm sure doing that is more lighthearted and easier on her, you know, brain. And it's good money.
Mm-hmm. What was her specialty? What was the MD? Like, what was her?
So you have to have like a support group. You have to have a psychiatrist. You have to have a therapist. You have to have an MD. Because his thyroid is all jacked up. Apparently, when we tested him for all kinds of stuff when he was 18, when all this started, 18 and a half, his thyroid was super bad. And that's what they actually thought it was his thyroid. Because if your thyroid's all jacked up, you have pseudo-symptoms of all kinds of different things. Depression, you gain a lot of weight, and just all kinds of stuff will just get you all out of whack. I keep getting off topic.
I think honestly, for sure. And then that's the thing, like, because, you know, I mean, I had asked you questions before, like, I wanted to know what it was like for Charlie, like, when he wakes up in the morning, and then what it was like, you know, what is it like for him when he goes to bed? Is it like, are you laying in bed thinking like, is he going to do something while he's asleep? While I'm asleep? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is he going to, not anything bad, is he going to have an episode while I'm asleep and I don't know, you know, like drinking the whole bottle of, you know, are those like fears that you have?
I used to, I think we all, in our house, we all used to. Okay. And no joke. Now we joke about it and we make jokes and we pick here and there and, you know.
I mean, I guess you have to deal with it some kind of way, right? You have to make, you have to make, like, you know.
I would be, I would even be embarrassed to tell you some of our jokes. It's like, but we say them amongst each other and we're sitting there laughing, you know, and we're like, that's sick.
And he participate, like, he, is he able to talk about, like, well, I've got this thing.
I don't think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I mean, like, for instance, I mean, I know you say that some days he's not as talkative, but like, has he gotten to the point where he's like, my XYZ, whatever's acting up, or hell, I'm doing the thing again, or like, does he, how does he see
Does he tell you, like, Mom, I've been washing my hands a lot?
I'm having a good day, or
no?
When I say that he talks to me, it's like two words, like, can, or four words, can we go to Chipotle? Can we go get cocoa? Or some, I seriously, so I think that, I think, success comes with maturity. I think success with mental illness comes with your own education, educating yourself on your diagnosis and acceptance, which comes with maturity. I don't think that he has accepted it. And I know that people in our family still don't accept it. Or people in his father's side of the family still don't accept it.
So how do you approach self-care? I wanted to ask that, like, speaking about keeping it light, how do you approach self-care? Unwinding, decompressing, resetting? Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm concerned. Am I the patient or the caregiver?
I'm sure.
No joke. I'm always on edge. My husband says I officially have a short fuse, and I do. And I hate it.
So what would you tell people that are in your situation?
Like, I used to do yoga. Like, I taught
yoga. You taught it, yeah.
And I was a huge advocate for self-care and peace and love and happiness.
Namaste.
And namaste will take you out, right? You know, at any point. And I'm like, I have just recently turned that corner. I gained a lot of weight. I was super duper angry. Man. Me and God were having some serious arguments. I was beyond angry with my spiritual being. I started working out again. I'm taking better care of myself. I'm putting makeup on.
Hey, I feel you. I don't know. I had to wear it today, but usually I don't. So,
and I hate it. I don't shop. I've never been a shopper. But I have been doing, I have promised that I was going to buy myself like a shirt a week or something. And I found this little bitty boutique in our town that's next door to the place that Charlie likes to have breakfast. Oh, that's part of our routine. I take him to breakfast. He loves eating out. And I've decided, how can I tell him to take care of himself when I'm not even taking care of myself? Who am I to gripe about? You need to go to the gym. It's good for you. Or get up and do something. Put some good clothes on. I buy him clothes all the time, and all he wants to wear. He has like 50 gray shirts, and these, and a bunch of black shorts, and that's all he wants.
Me and
to
Charlie
wear.
Have a couple things in common.
So I'm trying.
So you're just trying to lead by example, basically.
Like, yeah, and I, if I don't take care of myself, then you know. I'm worthless to everybody. And I am trying to work on my my anger, being so angry about why. Why is this happening? I think I've passed the why is this happening to us kind of pity party. I'm past that. But I am still angry.
Have they
love to travel.
Yeah, you do.
If I'm at the beach, that's my happy. Yeah. Oh, man, yeah.
So did they ever technically pinpointed what triggered this to happen to Charlie at 18 and a half? Have they ever like found why or how it even like kicked off?
And does he remember life before
all this?
Like, man, when I was 16, like I was an average.
Yeah. You know, he's very aware of everything.
Oh. He is. Okay.
I constantly, and I'm not kidding. If he ever probably says one word, it's if you ask him, does your mom, my BFF, we talk on the phone all the time, her aunt, and we talk every morning, and she's like, Charlie, is your mom getting on your nerves already? And he's like laughing, yes, you know, so, I forgot. What were you asking me?
No, I was saying, like, did they ever pinpoint exactly, like, what happened at 18? Like, was it the move? Was it too much for him to handle? Or what triggered it? Because I know sometimes it can be, like, something traumatic that can trigger, right. Like, because they say even being bipolar, you can go through an entire life without having it, but then something traumatic can happen, yes. Then it'll trigger it. So did they figure out what triggered that to happen at such a later time in his life?
I think I'm like a research junkie. So between the ages of 18 to 25 in males is when it's going to hit.
If it's an issue.
If it's going to hit you, you have the genetic intake or something like that in you, but whether it's triggered or not,
like genes activate.
I can't think of the right word, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's there. And so between the ages of 18 to 25, and it's more prominent in men for this to happen. It does happen to women, but this age. And I have drilled his friends, people that that were at the church. I have spoken to family members. I have, does anybody remember anything? Did something happen? Were you guys? Because he liked smoking pot. I mean, I'm sorry. I like the smell of it. I don't think that it's a bad thing. If you can at all,
no, it's great.
If you can, but if you can't, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had one of his really good friends, and she checks on him all the time, and she's moved on with her life. She's gotten, everybody's got a life now, and she swore up and down. He's always been, which I think it's something that he grew up with, is we've always tried to do everything as organic as possible. We've always, you don't put bad stuff in your body. Mm-hmm. And she swore up and down that, there was no acid dropping. She swore that there was nothing other than pot, and that he was very, he only bought the best stuff. He had a really good job, saved all his money. and that, so as far as drugs, some of the family members say, I bet it was Kush, or I bet he did blah, blah, blah. And I bet blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that K2, like the synthetic.
Yeah, the K2
stuff.
Synthetic. And I know that, at some point maybe they did try it, or he had a puff, and they say that that's all it takes is one puff. Or if there was a traumatic event, if there was something that happened, something bad, and I've been very open with him verbally about saying certain things, like, with somebody, like rape or
touching you or
a fight, or, somebody was ugly, or like just something and nothing. But I have spent hours tracking our families, my side of the family and his dad's side of the family. And it's there on my side of the family, and it's there on his side of the family.
So that's something that could be genetic?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, totally. It is total, yes. And I don't care what anybody says, but yes. So one episode, we took him to the doctor. We were at the ER. So we're at the ER, and this really nice, I wish I remembered who he was. He comes in and he said, I bet you he was just the life he was full of life, and I bet he loved living his life and being, with his friends. And he's like, and now this. And he said, all it takes is just like turning on the light switch or turning off the light switch, that easy. And just the fact of him leaving to go to college. Yeah. And I have a family member that the exact situation. And they did the same thing. They couldn't figure out why or what happened or whatever. But the exact same timeline also. Graduating high school. The stress of graduating high school. Now I have to go to college. Now what am I going to do with my life? You know, and the scary thing is that men are the least likely to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, of course, I love my feminine life. You know, I'm a woman. But I think men have a lot on their shoulders. I mean, look at the suicide rate for veterans. You know, a lot of them are just men, mm-hmm. 23 a day. You know, even active duty men, mm-hmm. you know, but the weight is so crazy, you know, for mm-hmm. you guys. I'm giving you guys a, you know.
Yeah. You know. I'll be trying to tell Marisol.
No, what do I always try to do everything. I feel the same. I feel that about, you know what I'm saying? Like him being, I mean, yes, we work together. You know what I'm saying? So equally our work is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I do as much work as he does, obviously. But the stress of his stress is different from my stress mm-hmm. in the business. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I try my best to take a lot of that off your shoulders so that you can be creative and, you know what I'm saying, trying to like, because without that creativity, there is no job right. for him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, I agree with that, you know? And I even tell him, like, should I just go back to work? Like, maybe, like,
I
you know?
I worry about that, too.
Yeah, like, should I just go back to work? And so I tell him that all the time, you know?
No, we're good. The interesting thing about what you mentioned is that on top, like, the overall thing is, like, the brain is complex. The doctors are trying their best to pinpoint. And there's so many variables and factors that what could be a stressor? What could be a trigger? Could it be a dietary thing? Could it be this? Could it be a genetic combination? And then the fact that, like you said, I think you said it affects males more.
Yeah, it hits you guys 18 to 25. It's more prominent for men.
And then the fact that I guess maybe it's a society thing that we tend to not ask for help as much. So it compounds it. So it's almost like not only are you more susceptible, I guess, genetically.
Now I'm embarrassed.
And there's a stigma.
Oh, yeah. Like, and you macho, don't ask for help. Like, you can't ask can't for help. Yeah.
And that's where we get into the culture shenanigans.
Especially yeah. the Latins.
Especially, yeah, with certain, I guess, ethnic groups or cultures yeah. or minorities or what have you, where especially, like, we always joke about, like, from a Mexican background, how you have, like, the machismo.
Yeah.
Or some, just some stereotypical things. Yeah. But it's like, it's almost like, walk it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Suck it up. Man up.
Yeah. As I look at one of the comments, like, what's up, Mandilon? This is yeah, somebody just commented
yeah, yeah.
that.
Cheer up. Yeah, and those words hurt.
Yeah.
You hear
no,
that, everybody?
I was told, you know, why don't you just let my husband whip his ass? He just needs a good ass whipping. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and ignorance. I'm not trying to say, you know, don't spank your kids or whatever. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying when there's a problem, there's yeah. a problem.
Yeah.
You know.
Address it.
Address the situation. Don't act like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And for don't
sure.
be embarrassed about mm-hmm. it, because that's what makes it worse. And that's when you see all of the BS in the news media and the on TV or in the movies or whatever, you mm. know, and they show all the bad stuff. Well, hey, why don't we like encourage all the great stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Cause there is, you know, I'm sure the good can outweigh the bad, mm-hmm. you know?
And the world we live in too, like on top of there being a lot of ignorance and stigma, you ever worry like, okay, I have to keep an eye on Charlie because some people in society may not be equipped or trained to deal with, like, you know what I mean? Like, imagine like he's going through an episode or something's happening in public and, you know, he thinks somebody's looking at him a certain way. And then here comes Mr. Police Officer that maybe didn't have the training, you know,
it
that's
has
gotta
happened.
Be a fear. Wow. What happened?
It has happened. So in the beginnings of this, so he was having the hallucinations. And when I say that he's not aggressive, he's not. So, like, the worst thing that he was doing was shooting the finger. But he thought, you know, like, he thought that people were staring at him because he was having some serious, they call it body dysmorphia. Mm. Like Michael Jackson could not, you know, the, like you feel you are not, like you look like a monster. And why were people staring at me? And so he shot the finger at the wrong person. I was in Hawaii.
Oh, that's when we were in Hawaii.
No, this was another time when I was there. And I get a phone call that Charlie got his collar broken.
Oh. Collarbone?
Collarbone, yes. And I'm like, because, you know, the time is different. So I'm laying there and I'm just like, just crying. Not like ugly cry, scary, but I'm just, that cry just like.
Jesus, oh, yeah.
I mean, you know. And then when I calm down, I'm mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what happened?
Mm.
You know, some kids were so he was walking around the block and some kids were threatening to throw rocks at him. And so Charlie shot the finger. And so the dad was like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And so Charlie, he was very active at the time and he was very physically fit because we've always worked out. And so Charlie ran. You can't catch him. He's super fast. But the guy ran after him and shoved him to stop him. And Charlie turns around. He's like, I'm a minor. You're going to go to jail. So he doesn't talk. And so he's in a psychosis. He's like literally. And so the guy shoved him so hard that he broke his collarbone. I'm livid. When the fear went away, I felt sorry for my son, and you know, then I was beyond angry. But I was told that the guy apologized. He went home. The kids said they were being yucky. And he literally drove to his dad's house, to Charlie's dad's house, and went and knocked on the door and apologized and was really sympathetic. And he's like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. You know, I saw this kid walking around and see. I mean, but still, Charlie said that he did the peace sign. But see, I really don't know. Just like when it originally started, he's saying that everybody hated him and I was mad. And I was like, why are people being ugly to you? That's your home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm kind of like, was he hearing or seeing things, or, you know, or does he even know? Does he even in reality? And so, I mean, there are so many different episodes that I can tell you about that. It's just, it's nuts. I don't know. And that's just it. You just don't know.
As part of your research, I wonder if you've stumbled across this, but this dude that we listened to, Tim Ferriss, he's an author and podcaster. He used to invest in startup companies in Silicon Valley, like Twitter, Uber, and all that. And he suffered from, do you know? It's like he almost killed himself. But it's like he said genetically in his family, it's like severe depression. And I'm not sure what the actual diagnosis is. But long story short, he stopped spending money. He took a break from investing in startups, and he put millions. And he gave it to this organization called MAPS, M-A-P-S. I don't know what it stands for. But they research things that are supposed to help with, like, different types of mental illness. So you're like ayahuascas or MDMA for PTSD. Are you familiar with any of that?
It's like the multidisciplinary, like, psychedelic association or whatever. Something
yeah, so like
that.
Shrooms for
depression.
No.
That's interesting. I wonder, I'm not an expert on it, but I'm wondering.
It's called MAPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, M-A-P-S. Mm-hmm. But I know that they deal with things like a lot of research, like scientific research. And supposedly, he recommended a trailer. It's called Trips of Compassion. And the trailer, it's a video on Vimeo. I think you can rent it for $5, but the trailer's free. And they show actual footage of, in a controlled setting, where they have like people that are like ex-soldiers or people that went through something really traumatic and they're suffering from PTSD, where they sit there and have like a controlled trip where they it'll be a measured dose of like MDMA or stuff, and you might see the person crying, but they come out of it feeling like better.
I did read something about that. Yeah, and I was like, that's too scary for me. I guess maybe that's why I didn't dig into it. But I did read something similar. I don't remember that guy's name, so it might not
Be the same curious. Thing. I'm gonna do my own research because I just want to know, like, okay, what are some things? Because I've been hearing a lot of stuff about, like, shrooms, how, you know, they've legalized it in Colorado. And what some people do is they like, microdose. It'll be, like, a few little drops, kind of like CBD. And it's supposed to be almost like a nootropic mainly, too, where it's almost like, man, you're just focused. You're just like, does something to your brain.
I'm trying to think. They used to give something to patients that were in a psychotic mode. I mean, it's an illegal drug now. Well, I can't even think of what it is.
So MAPS is a multidisciplinary association for psychedelic studies. And they just had their like yearly conference in Austin this year. And a buddy of mine, the one that was at the show, he was a volunteer.
Oh, wow. I bet that was a cool conference. I bet that would have been a badass conference.
We should probably have his buddy on to follow up with like some of the stuff we talked about.
Their next 2020 event is going to be the Psychedelic Integration and Psychotherapy. It's a retreat in New York. And then they have a couple of other 2020 dates already open. They do. They show different films about different psychedelics in the like the world of clinic studies and
I'm sure it's experimental and it might be like different. What is it like? You can't just take the blanket approach and just like take one of these.
Yeah, take 5 grams of that. Right.
Yeah, but very interesting. So who knows, man? That might be like the frontier. I mean, I don't know, but. It definitely can help with the stigma, right? Because it's like more people talking about like these really smart people gathering together, doing the research, doing the data.
But that's just the problem. And the problem is that it's so complex. The liability is so huge. And it's so, so crazy expensive that you don't see much about it. I mean, you can, you know... I mean, you look at all these awareness groups out there for certain diseases and, you know, because it's easily pinpointed. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go have an X-ray or a CT scan or something and you know you have this something.
So, a label, basically, like something to diagnose. Yeah, a diagnosis.
Psychiatrists don't even take insurance anymore. It's so complex.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to find... It's so hard to find a psychiatrist that takes insurance. You got to pay cash for the good ones. Yeah,
really?
They don't want to even mess with them. Mm-mm. The therapies that we do, I mean, it's all cash. So it's so complex. This whole brain, you know, your brain, you know, is so important, you know. But
how do his sisters handle it? Like, how does Victoria handle it? How does Cat handle it, being that she's 12? I think Victoria's probably a little bit more mature to where it's like, this is my brother, she defends him, versus I'm just looking at it from, because we have an 11-year-old, you know, kind of how it is, you know, you're embarrassed easily by things, or, you know, just little thing, you know, it's a different world for them right now. How is that for your girls with Charlie? Are they more like...
They're very, very accepting. So with mental illness, one of the things is you're extremely untidy sometimes, you know. So he just refuses to cut his hair sometimes and he refuses to brush it. And some days it's just like, oh my gosh, just brush your hair. And no one cares but me. No one even notices it but me. You know, Catherine is just... Everybody's on board. Victoria was supposed to go to Texas Tech, and when all this happened, she's not going to go anywhere. She's going to stay right near him. She's extremely protective over him. She comes over every night. They go to dinner. Some days, not every night. I mean, she comes over every night, but some days they go, or she'll take him to get his hot cocoa. You know,
does he talk to her?
When we say talking, like, you know, you and I are having a conversation, that doesn't exist in our world. When he will talk to her, like, he'll say, you know, will you take me to dichotomy? But sometimes it's so hard for him. And this is this is really common. So it's something with your dopamine and it messes with your speech. Mm-hmm. So he will either whisper it or he'll change his voice to like this really high pitch, like, please take me or something like that. And we're like, seriously, stop, you know. Mm-hmm. And the only reason we say like, don't do that or mm-hmm. something, it's just so that he's aware of what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to be aware of everything that happens because, you know, that's the other thing. Don't act like it's not happening because mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's totally okay. Just, you know, I don't know.
And then how is Kat with him?
Kat is, she loves her brother. She knows who's going to order her Chick-fil-A when I won't. Yeah, he will favor her. Next thing you know, she's sitting in her room with Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, really? Where did you get that? Charlie got it for me. Mm. See, I mean, the acceptance, she's not embarrassed of him. You know, her friends come over. We just met, like, this friend from California. They've only been here since, like, August.
Mm-hmm.
The mom, you know, she walks in. She's like, hey, Charlie, what's up? You know, and just, like, totally... And I was, like, so surprised because I try not to, like, have too many people over. And it's not really I'm not trying to hide him or embarrass. I don't want anybody saying anything.
Or it may trigger him, too, right? Like, it may, like, it changes his dynamic. So yeah. It's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it's more like I don't want to say, I'm like, you know, don't be rude to my son. Mm-hmm. Something. I think I'm more worried about that because people that do come over to our house, okay, maybe, yeah, you are right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is another thing that I guess subconsciously, I worry that it will trigger him. See, some things I don't even think that I do for certain reasons,
mm-hmm.
but I just do them.
Well, also, whenever I had my interpreting agency, I would also take other clients with different disabilities. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys did have schizophrenia, but he had 2 bachelor degrees. He managed to get married.
Yes.
He had 2 babies, so he was fine. But the crazy thing is that my office was out of the, like the church, the deaf church. It was their like coffee shop. And so we had our office in there. And so one day it was just T and I working on looking for his job. Like, you know, like, okay. Cause you kind of had to, I still kind of had to like, all right, we got to upload your resume. Like, this is what we need to do, you know? And so the pastor comes in the computer lab and all he says is, hey, Marisol, how's your day? I said, great, Pastor Craig, how are you? Great. And so he's like, he's totally looking for someone and was asking me. And then he turns around and he says, I said, oh, this is my client, so-and-so. And then, so the pastor goes, hey, nice to meet you. And then he just turns away and looks down. And then he says, Miss Marisol, I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, I gotta go. And I was like, why? He's like, I gotta go. So I guess his other person in his mind said that he didn't like the pastor. He didn't like his energy and he didn't want to be there in the same place as him. So when you go to the trainings for working with someone with psychos is you have to accept whatever it is they're saying. You don't argue it. It's more like, okay, that's fine. So tomorrow, what day works best for you for us to meet again? Mm-hmm. And so then it was like, let's meet again this day. And then he said, and then he asked, will he be here? And I said, and all my response was, if you don't want him to be here, we can meet at the other computer lab, if that makes you feel better. And he said, yes, I'd really like that. And so he left. He left because whatever he felt from him, or he kept saying the pastor was evil. That his friend was saying that the pastor was evil and was going to try to take him away from him. So whoever this person isn't his friend or whoever that he imagines, whatever, he didn't like the pastor and he felt like the pastor was going to take that friend away.
Mm.
So I don't know. Like,
Charlie's very specific about who he gets in the car with, who's around. If I have certain people over, like new people, he won't come out of his room. But I have a certain friends that do come over. He'll come out of the room. He won't say hi or anything. He'll just look down and do it. And I'm like, you need to say hi. Mm-hmm. And he'll say hi. But the whole getting in the car with certain people, yeah, he's really specific mm-hmm. about. And he's, you know, he goes into certain places by himself. Of course, I'm sitting in the car watching mm-hmm. him. He doesn't know that. But like he goes into Chipotle alone. He goes to get his water. He's totally in. He's a water snob. He goes in and gets his own water. You know, he does that by himself. He will go to HEB, but it has to be a specific HEB. He'll do that alone. But I totally, yeah. And you have to go with it. You have to embrace it.
Yeah, that's what.
Don't demonize it, because that's it. They're going to shut you off.
Yeah, the state kind of gave us a little crash course on how you handle when you work with someone with, you know, schizophrenia, bipolar, except all those things. It's like, really, honestly, it's like almost like a handout. Like, here you go. We're going to discuss the handout, and hopefully, you know, you're able to handle your client, you know? So for me, when he said that, I immediately was like, oh, he's having an episode. This must be what they were talking about. Because, you know, you get their case and you read the episodes they had. So I was now the fourth agency he was working with. So none of them wanted, they were all afraid of him. And so they felt like, oh, he's going to come back and do something to us. That's what the, like, you know, that's what the notes were. Stopped working with so-and-so agency because they felt that he feels safe. And honestly, he was Korean. So his family also, because I mean, honestly, you're curious, you know? And so I asked him, you know, like, so where's your family? So no one wants to talk to him. Basically, like, they think he's crazy. He's like, oh, my uncles think I'm crazy. But his job was, they owned a like a little grocery store or whatever. And so he helped stock things meanwhile until he found a job that had to do with his degree. But he also had already worked for like Apple, like, customer service. You can like, when your phone is broke, you can work from home. Mm-hmm. And so he had that for a minute and he did well because he was like a little smarty pants. And then a customer got upset over on the phone with him, and that was it. He didn't want to ever be on the phone. He didn't like the phone. The only way I could reach him was through email. So he had no phone. I could never call him. He could never call to follow up on his. That's why we were working together. Is I needed to follow up on the jobs that he applied for, you know. So there are little things like that that for him were like, while to us, someone who doesn't suffer from any of these things, we feel like, what? Like, just do it. Yeah. I don't get it. Just like, just yeah, like get just it. Get over it. You know,
it off,
yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, one day he brought his son with him, and you know, just a regular dad, like, mm-hmm. sit here, we'll be done shortly. And so we were working together, and the little boy brought his little iPad. He was sitting there. I mean, he was functional. And so, but little things on his file said little things can trigger him. So I did have a warning, like, make sure you're not alone at all times. So I was always by myself with him in the computer lab. I never felt like afraid of him. But maybe I also didn't approach him maybe the way other... Maybe he already felt the fear, you know, from the other people he worked with.
I think it's your personality. You have a strong personality. You're like... I mean, but you're, you know, you're just good with people.
Compassionate.
Maybe he felt that. I don't know, but yeah.
You're compassionate.
Trying to get on that good side.
Yeah, so it was like, wow. I was like, this is really interesting. And then it was like... I kind of wanted to take up on more clients, but I didn't get them enough, you know? So it was like, I wanted to compare because I go, now I was curious after working with him, like, what's it like to work with someone who's more severe, you know, who's trying to live life and, you know, do things.
What was Kanye diagnosed with? Do you know?
They said.
It's his SMI?
Yeah.
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 Because mm-hmm. he was taking. What was he taking? Oh my gosh, my brain is just blank.
Oh, you know what they had him on? like medicine?
I know. I read that he was taking certain depression medications. Oh, my gosh.
He also had some kind of bipolar issue, too, though.
That's part of
it? That was part of it. That was part of his diagnosis also.
And, you know, I mean, I've loved Kanye since the beginning. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I followed when his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. That's when it basically just like
triggered, really. Triggered,
yeah.
Even before then, he was always like an interesting.
Oh, he was bipolar
Yeah, it was bipolar.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it was, at one point, he must have had a psychotic episode because remember they had to call for help
mm-hmm.
and they had to take him.
Mm-hmm. So when I read my research, when I do research, I make sure that I'm not reading like
fake news,
silly blogs or something, or
satirical
something.
Stuff.
Yeah. I do go to scholarly written
like articles.
I'm reading like 50 pages worth of stuff, taking notes. I mean, I've learned. I've even gone back to school to. Yeah, so they've given you that pamphlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. It was like
the one pager.
Yeah, it was literally a little like booklet this thin, and it was like, here you go. Here's a rush course on how you handle it. And I was just like, okay.
Oh, they don't even give you that. You know, here we were like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a hotline you can call.
But
nothing. So everything, which is scary for families.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to distance yourself and, you know, and he didn't have any family, but he did it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he met somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you talking about?
My client. Oh, your client, okay. You know,
I
so.
Kanye or something.
Well, he did find someone that could handle it.
Yeah.
Handle his, you know, issues or whatever. Yeah.
And he had his mom though, but Kanye had his mom.
Yeah. That might've been a big trigger.
And, you know, and she was, you know, she was very involved. They were very, you know, close-knit. They're always together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that was his support,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then when she passed away, I'm sure that's what, and it just breaks my heart because everybody has something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're famous or not famous, people always have something to say. I know I keep looking at my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure Charlie doesn't leave the house or something.
You got the ring?
I'm not home, but I'm watching.
Yeah.
But back to Catherine.
Yeah, so she's accepting
she's
and just
witness quite a bit.
How old is she?
She's 12.
Okay.
I mean, so we had to take him to a hospital in Austin. And when I say he has episodes, he's not like throwing stuff and going bat crazy and threatened to kill people.
Which is what most people think. That's what happens.
Most people think that's what episodes are like, mm-hmm. which they're not, you know. I'm like, he hasn't spoken. He's not eating, you know, he's crying. And so that terrifies me because to me, those are signs like I'm going to do something, you know, I'm going to kill myself. See, I don't even want to verbalize that.
Mm-hmm.
But so we go to this hospital in Austin and I homeschooled her, so
mm-hmm.
you know she goes everywhere with mm-hmm. me, you know, and so
which I'm gonna have you on again for homeschooling on my episode.
Yeah, right.
Hey, she's so got some serious education, serious on hands education. So so we're there at the hospital, right? And a guy brings in his sister, and I know he's the brother because he said it, and I'm nosy, and so. I've become extremely observant, which I was never. I didn't care. This was me. I didn't care anybody around me, nothing. But now I'm like extremely observant. And so she's really calm. He leaves her there with her bag and he leaves. And I'm sitting with Charlie and Catherine and the nurse is talking to Charlie and I'm watching her. And she's really calm in there. And next thing you know, they take her in the back, and all of a sudden you hear screaming and kicking and cussing and just, I have like a million alarms. And so I tell Kat gets scared, and I said, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. If anybody comes near you, I said, I don't care what's wrong with them. You start swinging and you don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you run, you scream. I said, if you kick, whatever. I said, do not be afraid of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to the back and I have to leave her up front because she's 12. Mm-hmm. She's 10 and you can't go in the back.
You went to the back with Charlie and the nurse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made me go back because they couldn't get him to sign the waiver to be admitted. But he was anyway, so I go in the back and she's screaming and I walk in the back and she looks at me and she's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, I have become like, I don't have any fear anymore. It's really strange. And I look at her and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if she's going to act like a fool, then I have to defend myself. Yeah. And I sure will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back there with Charlie and she starts saying, she's super quiet as I'm walking by.
This lady.
She stopped the screaming. She stopped all that kicking and screaming the minute I walked in the door. And she does the hey, and I walk in the back and she goes, why the fuck y'all let that bitch come back here? Where's my family? And she's screaming, screaming. And so I have to leave. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I am not in the mood for this. If she acts a fool, I mean, where's her family? Why are they not like, because yes, there is something wrong, but you still have a sense of responsibility and you're going to have to own it. And so I'm thinking Catherine's hearing all this out there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get back out there. And so I start walking out and she stops. She's like, have a good day. And I'm like, okay. And I go back out and we're sitting there. And then all of a sudden, all the orderlies come out. They start locking the doors, locking the windows. They lock the sliding doors. She got out. She's running around somewhere.
Oh, no.
And Kat's like scared. And she's like, what would we do? I said, she ain't going to do nothing. Mm. She's acting a fool with them, not with us.
Send our beef, baby.
If she comes over, I'm going to be like, you need to sit down and behave. That's what I'm going to do. So, yeah. So she's been through a lot. So she's really accepting with him, is that the right word? And so I don't know. I just think that's really important that you don't hide it.
Yeah.
And should she have been witness to everything? I don't know. I think it would make her stronger and more
well-rounded, if anything. Yeah.
Have empathy.
For sure.
Something we all lack nowadays is empathy for others because of the social media thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I feel well. Like. It's her brother, and yeah. She's getting firsthand understanding of, you know, his situation, and.
And then, like, what's his bonus dad like with him? Is he like, because, is he more like, on his side? Does he feel, or is he more like, you know, gosh, Christy, just back off already? Like, or does he not get it? Like, does he feel it should be more like? Calm down, like a different approach. Like, yeah, hands off, not so hands on.
In the beginning, men handle things differently. You know,
because how old was Charlie whenever you married David?
Charlie was 10 when we got together.
Okay, so he had him since he was 10. And then how was that for you to explain that to someone you're kind of... Oh, it hadn't happened yet. I'm sorry. It didn't happen until I was 18. Yeah, I'm sorry. So he met him.
Yeah, he's invested in his life. He's an invested part of his life when it happened. And I really think that this is... So I read a research paper, a scholarly research paper on parents with... And it really dissected how... moms handle it and how dads handle it. It's nuts. I'll mail it to you. I'll send it to you.
You gotta read it.
And so David, he shut down because I think as men you feel a sense of responsibility and why didn't I protect him? Why didn't I, you know? And I don't know, because it's so emotional for me as a woman. I think him shutting down, and being upset and why did this happen? I can't pinpoint the word, but I know it's different. I know he reacted completely different. He didn't want to see him that way. But now that where we are now, he's all in. I mean, it was really tough in the beginning. Hard.
Yeah, and I imagine even as in your marriage, you know, because now it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's causing,
oh my,
you know,
because
you're having to dedicate so much of your time and, you know what I'm saying, making sure he's okay. And it's like, Yeah. I'm assuming. I don't
a
know.
Man. Every, what about me?
Yeah. Like he was coming secondary, men, you know, versus.
Men, yeah. You know, he's the man of the house and men want to be the men of the house mm-hmm. and they want to be first. And it's true. Don't deny it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they want to come first.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. it was tough. It was tough. It was, there was some very, very marriage issues. Mm-hmm. Like it was hard. It was very sad.
Mm.
It was extremely sad and hard because, you know, when you love someone and you're supposed to be with that someone, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, through thick and thin. But man, when it gets bad, it was just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're at a point where he's all on board. I mean, he's always been on board, but he's not afraid anymore. He was so scared to don't say anything. He didn't want to be the trigger.
Mm.
You know, he didn't want to be responsible for any episode. He didn't want him to be without. So he's working harder and working more. And, you know, and now we've kind of like, now we're at a, you know, everything's leveled to an extent. And he's always on Charlie's side. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm a pain in everybody's butt. Yeah. Give him a break. Leave him alone. Blah, blah, blah.
And you don't have to, but elaborate. But as far as his dad, is his dad involved somewhat? Or is it more like you handle it, Christy, just update me? Okay, we'll see. On that
pause,
note.
Like,
on that note, a simultaneous
Let's
sip.
Take a drink.
Crickets.
Yeah.
He really did help me when in that beginning when I really needed him.
Mm.
When I needed someone to strong arm, and David didn't want to be that. David was so crushed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain it, but he didn't want to be the one that Charlie remembers forced him in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And so him being the biological dad, it felt more natural maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I need you to do this. Mm-hmm. I need it. And he did. And he got the ball rolling. So, mm-hmm. you know, when I had no clue, like mm-hmm. I was so clueless, which is so many parents
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that when this crisis happens, there's nobody to say there's no, I don't even know. There's nothing.
Like protocol, like mm-hmm. reference, like, hey, let me call my aunt to see.
No.
So I think you talked about this earlier, but I just want a refresher. So when you started noticing the change or some changes, you said he was like 21 or no?
No, 18 and a half.
18. And mm-hmm. And this was, he was away at college and then he came home and then you started.
Yeah, he didn't even get to go to school.
Mm,
oh, he didn't get to go to college.
The friend's dad
he had to
called.
Come home. Yeah.
Yeah, friend's dad called.
Yeah, he had to come home. So, yeah, that's when I noticed.
And then I guess, how long have we been on there, Rob?
Almost 2 hours.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry,
wow.
Christy.
Time.
I know. Sorry. I didn't mean to. I mean, it's such an interesting topic because I feel like it's happening so much right now. And like because I know you and I know that you're being an advocate right now for it and trying to expose it and inform people. I felt like it was a great way for her to like even have a bigger platform, you know what I'm saying, to be able to share. And I just felt like kind of in our culture, we kind of don't like to talk about those kind of things. We kind of just kind of brush it under the rug and just be like you said, like, you know, just spank them or like, oh, he's being chiflado, you know, like he'll get over it. He wants attention, you know. And things like that, we don't address it. And I just felt like it was something important that I feel like it happens more often now versus like, I don't know.
It's because the girlfriend is always
like, la novia, es la novia.
No, es que la novia lo tengo de boom.
He's all sad.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Because I know, yeah.
Yeah. It is. And so like, I just kind of felt like that was something to we needed to address. But I guess like overall, like, you know, so that we can... What if there's a parent listening right now and they're kind of going through it, where would you tell them would be their first step to take? Like what would you, obviously we'll give your information as far as social media where people can reach out to you, you know, but like, what would it be a first step that a parent can take if they're starting, they're like, oh shit, all the things that she talked about I kind of notice it in my child. I never even thought that it was something. A lot of times parents will also wait for school to diagnose them versus like them thinking there's anything. And I just know that from my history of previous work, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of times parents will wait until the school says they have a art meeting. And then it's mm-hmm. like, we need to sit down and let me tell you what we've kind of figured your child has. And then yeah. it's like, oh, yeah, I kind of noticed that, too. I just didn't want to. Yeah. I didn't know what it was, you know, type of thing. So mm-hmm. what step would you say a parent should take first thing if they kind of feel like something's up?
Yeah, don't blow it off. Don't act like it doesn't exist. Do not be embarrassed. And take them to the doctor and write down absolutely everything. And do not leave until you get your questions answered. I mean, you get them help.
Mm-hmm.
They can't help themselves during a crisis. Or
should it be like a general practitioner?
Yeah, take them to an MD and do not leave until you... I mean, yes, I said that she took off to get Botox, right? To do Botox, to sell or whatever. But she saved our lives. Mm-hmm. Not only did she save my marriage,
mm-hmm.
she saved my son's life. She saved our families, mm-hmm. you know, our daughters. I mean, because this could have been really tragic.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get tragic for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm more than positive. When we finally found her, because we went through a bunch of different doctors.
And she's a psychiatrist?
She's an MD.
Just a regular general practitioner?
Just like a general practitioner?
Yep. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
He had come out of one of the hospitals, and I was like, they were like, he needs to follow up with his regular doctor for the thyroid thing. And when we went, this was our first time meeting with her, and I swear we were in there for maybe 2.5 hours. And every time we went back to her, she cleared her certain hours to make sure that she sat with him and she was thorough. And that's the key. Be thorough. They're human. Doctors are human. We all fall short somewhere. Mm. And so, you know, you just got to take the initiative and you got to be their advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody loves them more than you.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That was a lot of information.
Well, yeah. I know. Thank you for sharing your story. And we commend you for just being transparent and sharing and bringing awareness, mm-hmm. you know, because somebody might be listening to this and it's like, oh, I really need to kind of like address some stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then tell everybody what your social media is on Instagram.
Overreacting_mom.
Yeah. @overreacting_mom. Yeah.
That's a great name.
How long have you had that handle?
It fits. It totally fits. Well, I tried doing Instagram like forever ago and I had like 2 posts.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, I woke up one day and I was like, I have a friend that works at an athletics place. And so she can get me shirts like super cheap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then our company does business with the printing company. So I was like, I just made a bunch of shirts. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do this on Instagram.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And no, then Catherine thinks it's dumb. She's like, you are too old to be on Instagram. Seriously.
No, but I actually enjoy watching because as weird as it sound, it makes me happy like to see when Charlie is like, he'll smile in a picture versus she'll make another post where he's just kind of sitting there with her. Like you can tell he's like, fuck, I don't feel like being here. You know, he's like, shit, she brought me out. Here I go with her, you know. And then there's pictures of some days where where he is smiling, which I think is great because, you know, hopefully he's able to one day cope with it and look back and be like, Jesus Christ, I went through some shit. That was a roller. Exactly. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel it's great that you posted. I feel it's also great that you like bring it to people's like, you know, attention of like, hey, some days he's sitting there like not wanting to smile at me. But then there's days where look at him. He's working out. He was pushing the he was working out with his trainer. He was pushing the you know, what is that?
Sled.
The sled. And so, you know what I'm saying? You can tell that he's working out. He's enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? And so like, that's also another thing. You've got to find also the right trainer for, you know, someone. like that to be this able to cope with, is, you know, help him and like, come on, motivate him and push him.
Man, and he doesn't take any less from Charlie that he knows that he pushes him. And Charlie's like, only 8 more. And he's like, okay, how about 11? And Charlie's like, 9. He's like, how about 20? He's like, okay, 10. You know, and I mean, in 4.5 years, Charlie's never been out of our sight. Mm. And, you know, he's either with someone in the family. A couple weeks ago, out of nowhere, I'm sound asleep. It's Saturday morning, and he's in my room with the phone in my face. Like, and I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, my gosh. The trainer and his wife took him to a bodybuilding competition.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was just like, oh, my gosh. And then my husband's like, well, how long is it going to be? Where's it at? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, where's it at? And like, but they didn't even think twice. Like, and he knows everything. You know, I was very clear about everything, you know. And they were back. He was gone for like, he was gone from 8 a.m. till noon.
Had a good time?
Yes. He was exhausted. He came back and just slept the rest of the day. So I left him alone that day. So,
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just, I mean, I pray that only good, loving, compassionate,
sure, of course,
people are in his life. Mm-hmm. And it's happening finally. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome.
I shouldn't say that finally. There's been a lot.
There's a few out there in the world.
Thank you for making the drive.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, thanks for coming out.
And I just rambled.
No. Good. I think it was very good information. Where I think people are going to like turn around and do their own research or reach out to you. Yeah. So, you know,
thanks. I'm just a mom. That's you know.
Yeah, but these days, you know, with research and stuff, it's like,
do your homework.
You're in the same boat as some of these doctors. You know, it's like everybody's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So thanks again.
So thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Christy. We appreciate you coming on. And so tour dates are up. We'll be up December 30th. You guys got it first here on the podcast. So thank you guys for tuning in.
And thanks again to @overreacting_mom. And say hi to Charlie for us. Thank you for listening. Peace. Have a good day.